Hakan, because it's, of course, it's not so serious question. It's just I was wondering recently, for example, at Arsutas there were many monks during the Buddha discourses, and they didn't have this stuff like loudspeakers. How they hear the Buddha from the distance? Many disciples, like 1,000 arahants. How they could hear him from distance?
By conditions.
By conditions.
I heard once they would repeat it back.
Not necessary. Yeah, by conditions. Yeah. Because you see that the Buddha could have anyone near or far could hear him. No problem with his voice.
He has a divine ear.
Mm-hmm.
Divine ear. Yeah.
No, he himself, the Buddha.
This morning, I have a question about the energy, because I see that you feel very healthy the whole day, even that you travel a long time, but me, I've been much longer. So where you can get energy and you can...
By condition.
You can explain about something about the energy.
Very famous temple, Wat Arun Chan.
What is this?
Oh, yeah.
Wat Arun.
It's called Soda. Yeah.
Temple.
Very, very nice. And
you lived here and before, but you never climbed up.
And this is the Navy. Can be landmark of Thonburi.
Landmark. How long ago, Ajahn, the Theras elders came here to preach Dhamma?
No idea. I am not good in number, years and date. Yeah.
More than 40 years, anyway.
40 years.
More than
40 years.
Anyway,
40 years.
More than 100.
More than 40 years.
100.
Because Ajahn Neb taught her Abhidhamma, and then Ajahn Neb asked her to do a class, to teach in a class. And then she went to different temples. I met her at Bap Manhattan.
Over there is a place where I came to see my teacher.
Ajahn Neb.
Ajahn Neb, yes.
I know her teachings also. This, where Ajahn, you met Ajahn Naeb?
No, further.
Further, not the temple.
Not this one.
Okay. When it was Ajahn?
Yeah.
It was long ago?
Long time ago. And she let us know where it's
What?
Watratang, the place where I came to see Ajahn Naeb. Every Thursday.
No.
Watratang.
She said, Ajahn Naeb, do not change position. Why?
Then you won't know dukkha.
She knows.
You won't know dukkha.
If you change, you don't know dukkha. But if you do not change, you know dukkha.
Okay. Is it true?
You find out.
Yes.
I don't
find out yourself.
So.
Not according to the Buddha's teaching. Yeah.
But except that fact, Ajahn Neb was quite right, I think, because many meditation teachers, and this time it's like the evaluating Dhamma, but she teaches still Nama and Rupa.
She taught Dhamma wisely.
Why?
But it depends on understanding whether what she taught agree with the teachings of the Buddha or not. One has to have Buddha as one's refuge, no one else.
Ajahn, could you say more, explain one object at the time?
Citta arises one at a time or many at a time?
Well, one at a time.
So, citta experience an object at a time by Ekakata Cetasika.
Ekakata.
One-pointedness on just one object. So citta experiences that with ekakata chetasika.
And it cannot be different like many objects per time.
What do you mean?
I think because now it seems like many objects per time.
How many chitas are there?
Well, it seems like many, many chitas.
Because usually one pays attention to the object but not to the chitta. So it seems like there are now many objects, but actually there are many chittas as well.
And is it wrong, not correct, to pay attention to the object? Because, for example, seeing has object, a rupa.
Okay, what do you mean by wrong? You need a rule or what? Or the truth?
The truth.
The truth is that one chitta arises and it experiences only one object, with many chetasikas.
While there is awareness, there must be awareness of an object.
Because chitta arises and experiences that object.
So what do you mean that we pay attention to the object usually, not the chitta?
Like now, what chitta is there? Well, you can say what appears, see? But you cannot tell what chitta is there.
Yes. Because it was said that the object of awareness is kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma.
Where are they? Kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma. Where are they now?
I don't know.
So, no one. It does mean that what Buddha taught should be just remember and recite. It's not like that at all. Each word should be understood of a reality which that word represents. For example, citta. Citta does not represent cetasika or rupa. It represents that which now experiences an object, one at a time. So what we learned from the teaching can be understood right now. When we talk about any word, it's now and here.
Ajahn, do you think that remembering dhammas in life, I mean like reading a book, remembering of the citta, cetasika and rupa helps in life?
When you know that the teachings of Buddha are not just to remember, to be remembered, not to memorize, but to really understand whatever appears now. His teachings is for that. Understand what you read, and now it's now here. Like seeing in the book you read, but now they're seeing. So the point is to understand that which sees.
Mm-hmm. So we should learn what it means through life.
And understand what he taught was about now. Like seeing now, hearing now, thinking now, everything. Vitakka now, vichara now, all chetasikas now.
So remembering, the useful remembering is when it's marked with understanding.
Only with understanding. Like yesterday we talked about vitakka. It does mean that we know that vitakka arises with almost every citta. But why? And it is the citta now? That's the point. To know that vitakka thinking is not self. So what everyone learned is just to have understanding of whatever appears like. Otherwise it's useless.
And meditation is like the self thinking about...
self.
What do you mean by meditation? Again? Yeah.
Thinking.
The most important thing is right understanding. Otherwise, it's useless. You have lots of words which does not lead to understanding at all. So, as the most important thing is to understand whatever appears in life from birth to death, we need something to help to understand.
Dhamma.
Mm-hmm. You call it Dhamma, but it's whatever appears now, which is real. And so, what is meditation? Can it bring any understanding of reality right now? Otherwise, it's useless, because each moment passes. You remember yesterday, see? We went to many places yesterday, but today, today you do not have yesterday anymore. Where was yesterday? All yesterday happenings. And now, yes, and now it will be yesterday when tomorrow comes. Yeah, tomorrow is yesterday. Exactly the same. Nothing is left. Like yesterday's happenings do not left at all. Are not left at all. Just one moment, shorter than that, each moment appear and disappear. So he said, like a dream, when one wakes up, nothing there. So when tomorrow comes, no more whatever happens. Yeah. So in case of one thing about the tomorrow and now, it's only yesterday for tomorrow. That's all. Let's clinging. Like yesterday, many moments of clinging, and now where are the clingings? But it's accumulated and accumulated. So what one gets from pleasure and pleasant object is only attachment, added and added, accumulated and accumulated. From moment to moment, from life to life. And it seems like one gets many things from each moment, but actually one gets akusala. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Attachment, aversion of whatever akusala dharma is there. So now akusala dharma sprinkled on citta, each moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting. Life to life, see, from moment to moment. Past, see, everything's gone, even just a moment. That's why it's not in the book to be recited, but to understand each word. Citta is not cetasika, so kaya nupasana, Vedana Nupasana, Citta Nupasana, and Dhamma Nupasana are different. And if there is no understanding of Citta, can there be the Citta Nupasana Satipatthana? Everyone knows that everyone has Citta, but it does not appear at all to right understanding. So can right understanding begin to understand and become gradually detached from taking it for I or mine? So it's not just the books or recited the words from the book, but understand it. Because now it appears. And for hardness, when hardness appears now, what vipassana, anupassana or mahasatipatthana is there? Hardness. Where? At the body. But when it's not at the body, it's not kaya nupasana satipatthana. Do you take this for you? What is hard?
It's not hard.
It's not. Is it hard?
Yes.
But do you take it for you or my body?
No, but I only take my finger for my body.
Does it appear? Hardness at the finger, does it appear?
Yes, mine.
No. Can the hardness at your finger appear now?
Yes.
No. How do you know that it's hard when there's no touching?
Well, now I also feel touching in my finger.
No. What touched this?
Now I don't know, but it's touching.
No. Otherwise there must be hardness touch all over the body all the time.
Yeah, but I feel hardness like now.
You think.
But for example, inside I feel a hardness inside my hand now.
Are you now feeling that?
Yes.
You want to feel it? You want to feel that hardness?
No, but I feel hardness inside my hand.
Is it pain?
No, it's hard.
Is it pleasant? Sukha or dukkha?
I don't know.
Because you see that when the body consciousness, there must be sukha or dukkha with it.
Yes.
But now, can you tell whether it's sukha or dukkha?
No, I cannot.
So it's not the body consciousness?
Oh, it's not the body awareness now. I mean, it's not
even
awareness.
The body consciousness must be accompanied by the sukha.
Oh, it's
or
not
dukkha.
Alone.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
But while the rupa is, the, for example, softness or hardness is the object of awareness, can
when
we
it's
say
touched, it's... When it's touched.
But what do you mean by touched?
If you do not touch, can it appear?
But I mean, for example, there is touch inside the hand without any external object.
Does it appear now?
No, as it is, no. But
so when does it appear?
As it is.
Only that.
Only
that. Only that. But when it does not appear, no one can think that it's there, even thinking.
Okay, so it's just unknown.
It can be known only through body consciousness.
Okay. So the body doesn't feel anything, actually.
Because it's body. It cannot feel.
Okay. Why there is feeling is better now?
I thought that Anarkaya and Upasana, Satipatthana, all rupas, also other rupas, not of the body, but maybe that's abstract.
But what, why is Kaya then?
Yeah, Kaya
it
is
has,
body.
Yeah, and hardness, which is not taken as body, is Dhamma and Upasana.
Yeah, oh, I thought it was all on the
if Kaya. We don't specify whether it's Kaya or whatever, or Adama.
Yes. And then it's an abstract way thinking about it, if you say all rupas.
Yeah.
Because where, how are the experiences?
So
when?
We have to understand the subject, kaya, nupasana, sipatana, concern, what you take for body.
What you take for body, so.
It seems as if seeing, no matter what the change of situation, there is something the same all the time. I don't know,
it's thinking at that moment.
We're thinking, but it's like that
it arises only one at a time, and it experiences only one object at a time. When the object is unknown, it's bhavanga. Or moha mulajita.
What I'm trying to say is that it's like there is something consistent in the experience, even though the thinking about what is there changes from situation to situation.
It's thinking. Yeah, that is thinking.
But it seems as if that is true for, you were talking about hardness, is that the thinking that hardness as hardness starts to be the same also. It's like not
the same one at all, different ones. Because hardness arises and falls away, and another hardness arises and falls away.
Yes, but there are many experiences of hardness in a day.
It doesn't matter at all. It depends on conditions. As right understanding sees that, thus understanding is not disturbed by such idea.
Not to be disturbed, but to think the same.
Yeah.
Maybe about hardness is hardness.
So, it's not self, it's not my body.
Yes, thinking more that it is not. Just,
it has to be like that from the very beginning until Panya develops the body very gradually to see that even that is just a moment of thinking, no one there. otherwise I all the time who thinks.
So you could talk about realities in terms of anatta because they fall away or because they are conditioned?
Anicchang, thukkhang, anatta for all conditioned reality, and for nibbana is anatta as well. Even it's not anicchang, thukkhang. It's nicchang and sukkhang and anatta.
Can you say that again, sir?
For all conditioned realities, they are anicchang, not permanent, dukkhang and anatta. But nibbana is anatta, but it's not dukkha, it's sukha, and it's not anicchang, it is nicchang.
So it's because they're both conditioned then.
Like nibbana is not conditioned, but it's still anatta.
Certainly, yeah. No self. Is it you? Is nibbana you? Mm-hmm. Or a thing or whatever?
Some say it's anatta because it falls away. It's anatta because there is no self, no thing in it. It's just a dhamma.
So when they say that the three characteristics are experienced clearly after the arising and falling away, in what sense the anitta is understood with the realizing of the arising and falling away of Dhamma?
Of nimitta. Because with our paramada, there is no nimitta. That's why only nibbana is not nimitta.
Can you be nimitta of panya?
Any conditioned Dhamma.
All dhammas have.
Okay, so that would be a condition for thinking about what appears with thinking with right understanding. That
I think the point is it's the nimitta that is known, because the reality itself has fallen away, so it's the nimitta of the reality which is understood, which is known.
Yeah, I tended to think it was only related to realities that appeared through the sense doorways, but it's there's nimitta of
all conditioned dhammas.
Of conditioned realities.
So the nimitta of the realities can be known.
Because in the mind door, it's always the nimitta of the reality. The reality itself has always fallen away, so it must be the nimitta. Directly, yes.
That's it.
The one animita dhamma. Yes.
So, Chan, this nimitta is not only due to the rapidity, or is there some other cause for nimitta?
And anyone experience just citta at a time, only one citta at a time, because it rises and falls so rapidly. So that which appears is only the succession of the arising and falling. That's what we call nimitta.
Right, but there's also the fact that the mind door experiences what has already fallen away.
Who knows that? Because you know that everyone thinks a lot about reality, try to find out, but what about now? if there is no understanding of reality right now, it's impossible to understand what's meant in the Tipitaka or the words. Even right now, we know that after the sense door process has fallen away, there must be mind door, just follow after Bawanga. And Bawanga do not appear at all, and other citta does not appear. So what is now appearing? So we can say that all are nimitta of that which arises and falls away. And since we know that the hardness is experienced through the body sense and also mind, but even so, can anyone distinguish the difference between sense door, but the body sense door and mind door? So just understand as much as one can do the reality which is not self.
The level of vipassana jnana that one can, that the mind door can appear.
Can appear, but even so, it's so fast that one can understand the rupa which appears without thinking whether there is sense or mind.
I think you said before, it's, even though it's not thinking whether it's sensed or mind, or but it knows at that moment whether it appears through sense or mind.
Whether it's sense or mind.
Later, one can say that it's my door.
Not to say anything, yeah. Because you see that since there's no doubt about my door, so you know the difference by that way. Because now it seems like there's no mind door at all, but actually, mind door is in between all processes. So this is the very, what you call it? Not true at all.
Now, the sense door appears.
What kind of logic?
Does it appear? But at some point,
it has appeared.
Yeah, it can appear to panya and pan.
Like what and like when?
When panya is developed to that degree.
It hasn't developed to that degree, so it's only thinking and imagining. Yeah?
And it can be known.
Pardon?
And it can be known, this thinking and imagining.
At moment of thinking, does anyone realize that it's not self who thinks, or which thinks at all? That's why when the citta appears to panya, no doubt about whether it's seeing or hearing or thinking, because in darkness is there, experiences an object. The inside world is very dark, but the outside world does not appear as that at all.
And when you can know nimitta as nimitta?
No word. At all, because without the Paramada Dhamma, no nimitta. So what appears is the nimitta of Paramada Dhamma, if one knows that it's nimitta. But since they appear like the sound and the echo, who knows which one?
It's just the characteristic of the reality, so a visible object appears
so
at that moment.
So what knows it? What knows?
Panya.
It doesn't matter.
A visible object appears and
how it works. In terms of development awareness, it has no significance. Whether it's the middle or the
reality. I would have thought it was very important
with anything about nimitta at all, you know that it's Paramada Dhamma. But since you know the succession of the arising and falling away, so now you understand that it's not only Paramada. Yeah, right.
The visible object that appears in the eye door process, or the nimitta visible object that appears in the following mind door process, is absolutely no significance. It's just the characteristic of visible object that appears exactly the same, so no one can know which process it arises in.
But it, no, actually, I don't think it's all. I don't know if it was on the worry list, but it actually, I don't know whether this is right thinking or not, but it seems that it enables...
See, whether it's right thinking, when there's understanding, it understands. No need to try to find out whether it's right thinking or not.
It seems to enable some understanding.
Depends on one's own understanding.
There's a tape of a discussion in India when Ajahn spoke about nimitta, and we who were there, Penny dropped for the first time that she was talking about awareness of nimitta. And we all said, oh, Jesus, nimitta, this is really interesting. And so we pursued it more and more. But the conclusion at the end is, you know, after you get all the explanation, is that it doesn't make any difference. It's always been nimitta. It'll always be nimitta in practical terms. And Ajahn's been mentioning it for years, if not decades, but no one actually kind of picks it up.
I remember that discussion, actually, but I don't think the penny dropped.
Yeah, until now.
There's something I haven't picked up. Nimitta is not a paramattha dhamma, is it?
A paramattha dhamma. Exactly. But, you don't have to think of nimitta, just be aware of the characteristic. That's what I learned.
Asking these questions sometimes can condition a lot of doubt.
I mean, there is doubt.
There is doubt.
Yes.
And in the future, it's just accumulating more doubt. And how can that, and doubt is an obstacle.
Why did Buddha tell us about nimitta and paramattha dhamma? Because that is the way it is. To see that they're all dhammas, no self, even who is reading or hearing it, no self who hears and no self who reads. This is the point, the most important point is to understand what is there when he talks about this or that.